A new report from Puro Publica, Illinois, and WBEZ in Chicago indicates State Senator Bill Brady of Bloomington has significant financial interests in a video gambling company called Midwest Electronics Gaming. GLT has found that company owns about half the video gaming terminals in the town of Normal, for instance. Brady is also the Senate Minority Leader. The Illinois General Assembly is currently taking up a bill on taxation of video gaming interests. ProPublica started reporting on the video gaming industry last year. In January, there was a report that showed Illinois has more video gaming terminals than the state of Nevada. In fact, more than any other state, and the next to lowest tax rate on video gambling in the nation. When Governor J.B. Pritzker proposed raising the tax on gambling, ProPublica covered that issue. Reporter Jason Grotta was with us and tells us Brady's name surfaced as part of that reporting process.
The senator declined to have an interview with us, so you know we weren't able to ask him directly. And the records for video gambling and gambling in general in the state, relative to other places like Nevada, are very difficult to come by. So there's a whole categories of documents that are not available to the public. We actually got these records probably by mistake through a FOIA request that allowed us to see the types of relationships, or at least some of the types of relationships that are out there. And what we knew already was that the senator was what they call a finder or a sales agent for video gambling. And so what that means is it's just someone who may have relationship with bar owners or any kind of establishment that pours alcohol can have video gambling. And there are thousands of people who have relationships with these locations that can go to them and say, hey, sign up with this video gambling operator who actually owns the machines and puts them into the locations. You know, if they can get a contract signed between a what's called a terminal operator or video gambling operator and a location, they get a finder's fee, which we were told can be as high as $50,000. So he had been working for Midwest Gaming, which is one of the larger companies in the state, as a finder since 2016. But then in 2018, he became what's known as a person with significant influence or control. And usually what that means is that you're getting some kind of revenue directly from the machines. So, you know, what our reporting found is that sometimes when finders bring contracts to video gambling operators, the operators may not want to pay up front. So what they'll do is they'll say, hey, we'll just give you a percentage of the proceeds from the machine. And that raises you up to a higher level where you actually kind of have a stake in how well those machines perform.
Or if
there's a tax on the machines, you know, how much money you get from them.
Do other top legislative leaders also have this revenue sharing arrangement, or are they sales agents?
All of the other ones that we saw are sales agents. So Mr. Brady has a unique relationship with the terminal operator.
He voted against the original gambling bill.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, some of that might be politics. Back in 2009, when the bill was first brought up, the senator was running for governor against Pat Quinn. Pat Quinn had supported this video gaming act in part to fund a massive building program, a capital plan, the last one that the state had. And that was one reason the legislature pushed through the Video Gaming Act in 2009 to fund a capital campaign. And they said that, you know, that the industry would bring in $300 million a year. And, you know, within months of passing the law in 2009, they started borrowing billions of dollars. And in fact, it took 10 years almost for the industry to reach that level of revenue coming in. So video gambling originally actually hurt the state, not necessarily because of the industry itself, but because lawmakers started borrowing before the revenue came in. you know, most Republicans at that point voted against the Video Gaming Act. Since then, it's really become a bipartisan support for gambling in general across the state.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with ProPublica reporter Jason Grotto about a new and significant piece of reporting that's out today on ProPublica.org. Are there ethics rules that would require Senator Brady and the assistant Democratic Senate leader, who is also involved in the gambling industry, to not vote on the proposals currently before the General Assembly?
So from what I can tell, and Illinois is not known for the strength of its ethics laws. In fact, the former Inspector General for the state has written op-eds about the holes that are in the ethics laws here in the state. I think it's a little squishy about whether he's required to abstain from the votes or not. What the senator pointed out was that, A, he did disclose his relationship with a company called Brady Ventures. So this is a company that he owns, and I believe along with his wife, or she's involved in it in some way. And so the video gambling company pays Brady Ventures. So he disclosed Brady Ventures on his ethics disclosures, but not Midwest Electronics. So there's, you don't really get to see, because, you know, he's paid from Brady Ventures, not directly from Midwest, or at least that's what he told us. And then he also said that he does consult with ethics officers with the state, and abstains when he's told he should abstain. It was a little less apparent in terms of, you know, whether he participates in the many negotiations that are going on about gambling, and all of these things are interconnected. So,
as Senate Minority Leader, he's got to participate.
Well, that's true. The question is he disclosing to his colleagues his relationship, and should he be participating in those if he has a financial interest in gambling in general?
Do we know from either the Midwest Electronics Gaming or the Brady Ventures exactly what his revenue stream looks like? How big is it?
No, we have no clue. What we do know is that Midwest Electronics is one of the largest video gambling operators in the state, that it makes a significant amount of money every year. I'm not sure how much of that largesse the senator receives, or how, we don't know how many locations he has contracts with, or he helped get contracts for. We don't know any of this. None of that is disclosed.
You also note in your reporting that there begin to be monopoly concerns, that with the top five gaming companies in Illinois controlling about half the revenue stream.
That's a really good and important point. When video gambling was, by the way, Midwest has made $80 million between 2012 and 2018, for whatever that's worth, $16 million last year. But to your point, there's actually a clause in the Video Gaming Act that says the gaming board will not allow undue economic concentration. Now, as is often the case in Illinois with these laws, what undue economic concentration means is not defined, and the gaming board has never done much to answer that question. So you've had a tremendous amount of consolidation in the industry. Many of the biggest operators have bought up smaller operators, and I think that there is a hope among regulators and others that, you know, that the industry will consolidate, because it's harder to regulate so many companies. And the law itself is, as we reported in January, the law itself does not provide enough money for the gaming board to cover the costs of regulating the industry because of the way it's structured. And so that's a huge issue. We found that there was an $86 million shortfall in what it costs to regulate the gaming industry, and what, or the video gambling industry, and what is actually paid by the industry. So that's a huge issue. When the law was first pitched back in 2009. It was pitched as a way for small businesses, including small amusement operating companies. These are companies that, you know, put pinball machines and jukeboxes and stuff. And many of them were in the illegal or what they call gray gambling business, where they would put simulated gambling devices in bars and whatnot. And the law was supposed to sort of help the small mom and pops, and what's happened is those have all consolidated, and you have a handful of companies that are dominating it now.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking about the video gambling industry and a new piece of reporting from ProPublica.org and WBEZ in Chicago. ProPublica reporter Jason Grotto is with us. You note in the story that the Illinois rate of taxation is about 30% of proceeds. Many other states are up at 50%. Would raising it to 50% catch up with the cost of administration that you just talked about?
Well, that would certainly go a long way in getting to where the costs are for the Illinois Gaming Board. It's hard to say because a lot of it depends on how they structure the tax. So, for example, right now that 30% tax that's put on video gambling machines, 25% of it goes to the state. And just 5% goes to local government. And I think, you know, that's one area, and we're looking into this, where, you know, any kind of social cost or, you know, boots on the ground, oversight of these places, you know, is a local issue and a local cost. And they really don't get that much, the local governments. That's one area that might need to be addressed. The other issue is that Illinois ranks toward the bottom, 28th out of 40 from the last report that we saw, in providing funding for gambling addiction treatment. We looked at the fact that Illinois is one of the only states with significant gambling operations that has never done what's called a prevalence study. And this is almost a study where they look at, you know, try to figure out, like, how many people are suffering from gambling addiction. And this is a really important issue because over the years, as gambling has spread throughout the country, there's been a lot of studies, including brain imaging studies and other things, that have found that gambling, for a small percentage of the population, about 2%, is no different than drugs or alcohol. It has the same kind of impact on the chemicals in the brain. So, you know, 2% of the state of Illinois' population is well over 200,000 people. But we don't know exactly what it is here because they've never done a study.
GLT reporting on gambling addiction has shown that senior citizens are at risk of becoming addicts at a higher rate than the general population.
That's true.
And GLT's Mary Cullen has interviewed a couple of gambling addicts who say, who have talked about their trip down close to suicide and to prostituting themselves for money to continue video gambling. You can find that reporting at WGLT.org. But is, as one of the gambling addicts told us, no matter how much the money, the social costs will always outweigh the revenue. Is that something that your reporting reaches? That question?
Well, I don't think we've come to that conclusion. We haven't studied that particular issue. I mean, look, gambling and video gambling brings in a lot of revenue. There's no doubt about that. Last year, it brought in $1.5 billion, and the state got about, I can't remember off the top of my head now, but, you know, 25% of that. So it's not an insignificant amount of revenue. The issue is, on the social cost side, how much does it actually cost? It's a very difficult question. How many people go into bankruptcy? How many people are you know, become addicted, lose their jobs, use the mortgage to pay for these, put money in these machines? And I think that's a real issue that was never addressed when they passed the law. No one brought it up. There was one lawmaker who actually brought it up during the debate, and they never funded it. And that's something that I think, with all of the issues that are being pushed right now in Springfield, whether it's more gambling, sports betting, you know, marijuana, that they all carry with them costs, both regulatory costs and social costs. And there's very little effort by the legislature to try to enumerate what those costs are or study what those costs are. I think probably they don't want to know. You know, the state needs money, and so they're scrounging around for it. But one thing that we've been trying, the point we've been trying to make throughout is this isn't free money. It doesn't come without other costs. And if those costs aren't addressed over time, you know, it's going to be an issue for the state because people will start to move against the machines. You know, in Europe and also New Zealand, there are movements now to get rid of the machines that have popped up because they didn't look into these things earlier.
Where next in your chain of reporting?
So we're going to be looking at, you know, local issues. That's one place. You know, many of the operators have gotten involved in local politics. You know, when the state first started, when the state first legalized video gambling, 63% of communities across the state opted out. They didn't want it. Over time, as the financial pressures on local governments have grown, and as the operators have pushed and lobbied to open up these markets to video gambling, you know, making the argument that, hey, you're missing out on all this revenue, the state now has flipped so that 63% of the communities in the state have these machines. You know, we did an analysis, a demographic analysis, that showed as the median income of a community falls, the number of video gambling machines increases. So, you know, in wealthy, really wealthy communities, you're not going to find video gambling. But as the wealth erodes, there's more and more of it. And so we're taking a hard look at how video gambling impacts, you know, local governments and local communities on the ground. And, you know, anyone who hears this that you know, has information for us or just wants to talk to us about it, they can find my email and contact information on ProPublica.org, and we'd welcome hearing from them.
In Bloomington Normal, the town of Normal has put significant geographic restrictions on the placement of additional video gambling terminals. Distances from governmental buildings, distances from schools. And effectively, that has redlined any future additions. The city of Bloomington, right next door, has done nothing of the sort. Have you found similar drastic differences in close geographic proximity yet?
Well, we've had certainly in places where one community has opted out and another hasn't, so there are some that have none right next to places that do. We are hearing more and more about communities that are starting to say, like, hey, hold on, we didn't necessarily bargain for this. This isn't what we thought was going to happen. And so they're taking a harder look at how they regulate it at the local level. I mean, it's important to point out that at the state level, there is no cap. They can continue to putting as much video gambling machines out there as they want, and that's exactly what the companies, the operators want, or more video gambling. But communities themselves are starting to do things like increase the licensing fees. So local governments can put licensing fees on the machines, and so some are doing that. Others are doing what you describe, what's happening in Normal, where they're saying, okay, we're going to essentially cap the growth of these things, because, you know, there are certain things that have happened. Like, there are these, I'm sure you've seen these gaming parlors, right? They're like, I describe them as almost like salons, except instead of, you know, getting your hair done or whatever, or haircut, they have five video gambling machines in there, and that's all. You know, no one contemplated those in the beginning. This was a thing that was supposed to help small mom-and-pop bars and restaurants, and your fraternal and veterans organizations. And really, if you look at the numbers, which is what we're doing right now, these parlors make lots more money. The question is, you know, now that things have shaken out in ways that maybe the original framers didn't quite see, you know, how do we go forward with this? And there are, you know, local communities that are taking that in their own hands and running with it.
We have had some discussion in public municipal government about raising fees for terminals. But around the state, have you seen any impetus for communities to try to unring the bell and opt out after deciding that they're seeing too much money locally leaving the community?
Yes. One community, Forest Park, which is a suburb just west of Chicago, had a very contentious battle over this. And originally, members of the community put a non-binding referendum on the ballot. They won. The mayor of the town basically said, well, too bad, we want video gambling, we're not going to follow it. So there was a big court fight, and the activists that were trying to get rid of video gambling were able to get a binding resolution on there. And once that happened, what we saw was video gaming operators poured tens of thousands of dollars into this small community to try to fight this off, and local bar owners too, because they benefit from this. At the end of the day, and in a pretty slim margin, the anti-video gambling folks won, and now there is no more video gambling in Forest Park.
That's a huge effort, though.
Huge effort, huge community effort. Very dedicated, people working on that. In fact, one of the people that was working on it ended up becoming mayor of the town. So it really galvanized people politically and, has led to a lot of change in that town.
Jason Grotto is a reporter for ProPublica Illinois. You can read his reporting about the Illinois gaming industry at ProPublica.org. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, I really appreciate you having me on.
I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is GLT.